Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and good evening. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk with Dr. Balkin tonight. It is Monday, May the 2nd, 2016. I pray all is well with you and your family, and all is going well, and that you are still walking faithfully with the Lord. I just wanted to give a shout-out to Married Men Making a Difference. We just had our bonfire on Saturday, and it was a wonderful and a blessed time. And I thank Derek Purcell for his teaching and his organizing and putting that team together for a time of fellowship and prayer and just engaging and meeting and talking with the brothers. Amen. So I wanted to give him a shout-out for that. Also, we have a couple things going on tonight. We're going to be talking about, the topic is going to be talking about the power of words in a man's life, and also what it, you know, how important those words are, and how we speak and how we use our words. And then we're going to touch on the different levels of communication, on how deep and how we talk to each other, our wives, our children, and those around us. And there's different levels. We have that superficial level. We're going to go all the way down into the deep, interpersonal level. Now, we have a couple announcements. We have some upcoming men's events that we wanted to share with you tonight. And also we have some new news. We are expanding a little bit here. We're using the technology because we're on Twitter now. So you can go to Issues Christian Men's Talk at Twitter. It's at Far Deacon. It's Twitter at Far Deacon. And if you go on our Facebook page, you'll see the link there posted. Go to Issues Christian Men's Talk. And that's what we have it set up right now. We're going to be changing that soon, but for right now, it's on Twitter, and it says Far Deacon. And if you go to our Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk, you'll see the link there posted on our Facebook page and take you right to Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter. A lot of the posting of the shows, broadcasts that we do, also some upcoming men's events is also going to be there, and some other and words of encouragement and some other things that we're connected with some of the pastors and local ministries that we're in fellowship with. Amen. We'll go over with prayer, and then we're going to get right into the conversation. And like I said, we have a couple announcements on men's events coming up in the local Baltimore, Maryland, D.C. area. I'm going to share that information with you also. Amen. Father God, we say thank you today. We say thank you, Lord God, for all that you've done in our lives, Lord God. We say thank you, Lord God, for salvation. We say thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, oh God. Father, we come to you with hearts of gratitude today, oh God. We're not coming asking for anything, God, but that we just want to give you the honor and the glory for who you are, God, for just being God, oh God, for watching over us, oh God, even in the midst of our sins and our disobedience, God. But you knew the day would come when we would choose to serve and follow you, and we would accept your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. Father, we say thank you, God. Again, we say thank you. Continue to watch over us. Continue to keep us. We ask that we touch every man's family that's listening on this line, their wives and his children, his parents, and all those men in his circle of influence, God, that he'll be able to speak life into and encourage. Strengthen us and keep us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, tonight, again, we're going to be talking about a topic here of discussing what it means, the power of words and the different levels of communication. So we're going to be touching on that tonight. As for my announcements, we have a lot of things coming up here. First, let me share this. I'm going to try and do them in chronological order, because our first event is coming up on Friday, May the 6th at 7 p.m. This is Man to Man, Men's Ministry Fellowship at the Church of Redeemer of the Lord, 4321 Old York Road in Baltimore, Maryland, 21212. The church phone number is 410-433-0426, and that's on Friday night at 7 p.m. That's Friday night, May the 6th at 7 p.m. there at the church. And their topic for that fellowship is going to be talking about, I won't seek help. You know, sometimes as men, we struggle reaching out in our time to struggle. And who we can trust and who we're going to ask for help. You know, it's the things we're dealing with, and we get into that place where we think we're the only one dealing with it, and it's hard for us to ask for help. So we encourage you to come out and join us again, and that's going to be at the Church of the Redeemer of the Lord in Baltimore, Maryland. The pastor there is Dr. Jerome Stokes. Amen. Okay, we have another, we have a prayer walk coming up. This is going to be sponsored by the Men's Ministry of Carter Memorial Church, where the pastor there is Pastor Carl Pierce. And they're going to be doing a Adopt a Corner prayer project. And it is Thursday on May the 5th. May the 5th, Thursday, May the 5th at 7 p.m. And you can contact the church at 410-752-6123. And they're going to be out there at 7 p.m. on Thursday. I'm going to have a prayer service there. It's also going to be broadcast on the prayer line. So if you go to the Facebook page or you call the church and get more details and the location, they're going to be in the Baltimore area. I believe they're going to be on Pimlico Road in Baltimore, for those of us locally here in the Baltimore, Maryland area. But if you call the church at 410-752-6123, you can get the detailed information for that. That's Thursday evening at 7 p.m. They're going to be out, you know, out and about, and the men are going to gather. They're going to pray in the neighborhood and just minister and try to encourage and just bring some peace to the chaos of what's going on in the streets of Baltimore. Amen. Also, finally, we have a Man Up event. We have a Man Up from New Summers Baptist Church is presenting Man Up, an engaging and interactive men's group. And they're starting on Saturdays at 10 a.m., starting this week, I believe. They sent me the information here. I got the information off of the Facebook page. Someone linked it to me. But that's New Simon's Church, where the pastor is Bishop Walter Scott Thomas. He's a senior pastor there. So you can also go to their website at newsummers.org or their Facebook page, New Simon's, and get the information, address, and link up with them there. But they're starting a Man Up Men's Fellowship and Interactive Man Group every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we thank you for that. We thank you for submitting and all these events. If you didn't get a chance to get them, we'll repeat them at the end of the show. But also you can go to Issues, Christian Men's Talk on Facebook. You can get that. And also you can get the link there. We're on Twitter now. You can follow Issues, Christian Men's Talk on Twitter. Search us out and you'll find us there. Amen. Amen. Pastor Larry Watkins, good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening, Deacon Farr, man. I'm blessed to be here, blessed to hear your voice, and blessed to be a part of this conversation tonight, man. Thank you for having me.
Amen, sir. Thank you, man. You're a regular, brother. You're a regular, man. You're my guy. Amen. Wow, you're a guy. You have co-host credentials, brother. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight, bro, I want to talk a little bit about communication, about the power that we have as men, that we have in our voices, in speaking, in the things that we do, and the things that we say, and how we say it, and what we do. And that's important that we understand that, because you know it can affect those around us, especially in our family, especially in our personal lives, and in our workspace. It's that power, the power of words and the level of communication that we have in our lives also, because that's important too. Because sometimes we have to get past the superficial things, but we're going to touch on that a little bit more later. But it's when we're really in relationship with someone, we have to get to a place where we're in a deeper level of communication, where we're just not doing, we're engaging folk a little bit more. And also, you know, as we talk about a lot here, we talk about accountability and being accountable and having people in your life that are praying for you and caring for you and know about you and know your weaknesses and know your victories and know your failures and who can encourage you in this Christian walk. Because, again, no man is meant to be alone. But, that, you know, we're not lone ranger Christians. The body of Christ is a gathering of common-minded people coming together. And moving and thinking the same thing and take the word of God and has the word of God as a priority and the benchmark of their lives. So, you know, that's something, the only way we can do that is by coming together. Because the Bible speaks of us being together and being encouraging one another at all times and all things, especially as things become harder and harder and as we see the world just you know, changing and struggling all around us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I'm gonna read something here. We're gonna go right into the conversation. I'm gonna read an excerpt from a book I was reading recently. It's called A Man of God by Dr. Charles Stanley. And one of the paragraphs he talks about, when we talk about communication and the power of our words, it's two things. I want to start with communication, how important it is to be able to communicate and communicate properly. You know, it's difficult sometimes. But I want to put the definition on here and tell me what you think. Sometimes when we talk about communication, it means to be able to talk and listen with understanding is the simplest definition for communication. Listening is not passive. It is concentrated attention with our ears, our mind, and our heart, with the goal of comprehending what the other person is saying. And I think that's one of the things we have to understand when we say we're listening to folks, that when we say we're listening, we're in conversations, that we are focused on trying to hear and comprehend what they're saying, and not think that what we're hearing and we just automatically, we put our definition to words, because again, you know, we have to, sometimes we may be speaking English, but we're speaking a different language. And that's what we struggle with, especially in our relationships. And it's more than just a marriage relationship. It can be with our children. It can be with those around us. It can be with our fellow brothers in Christ. What do you think, sir?
I think that when we talk about communication, we're talking about several different dynamics. Number one, you're talking about two different people coming together, two different peoples with two different ideals, two different sets of upbringings, even sometimes in the same household, two different people with two different viewpoints and opinions coming together and trying to mesh together in order for us to talk and understand each other, or communicate and understand each other. Now, like you said, it takes not only just talking, but also listening. And knowing that, the other dynamic is that when one talks, we can hear faster or twice as fast as one person talks. So while I'm trying to get my thoughts across, not only can you hear me, but you're also trying to get your thoughts together. So what happens is, sometimes we don't always hear everything everybody else has to say because we're so busy trying to figure out what I'm going to say next. And all of that tends to make conversation difficult. The words that I say may have one meaning to me, but have another meaning to you. The words that you say may mean something totally different than what I'm thinking they mean. But ultimately, it's not about the words that are said to each other, but the words that are said to ourselves about the words that are said to each other. What am I saying? You can tell me, bruh, you look nice today. And I'll say, what do you mean I look nice today? I don't look nice every day. What are you trying to say? And it's all a matter of perception in the way that we communicate. We can say things with a meaning of one way and it be totally perceived another. So the dynamics of communication, the odds are kind of already set against us. So to communicate effectively, we must be willing to open our minds and our hearts to hear what each other has to say. And once we get past all of those other dynamics, all those other challenges, then we can come to a level of understanding and find a way to communicate. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible says, come, let us reason together. That means that we have to come together and work this thing out. We have to think about this kind of logically and put our thoughts together. And it's not just about what I think or what you think, but we have to come together and meld our thoughts together and communicate effectively so that we can come to an understanding and work out this thing together. Communication is essential when it comes to relationships. But we also have to understand the challenges and the dynamics that come along with communicating. What do you think, Dee?
Amen, and that's right. And I think it goes back to, you know, like, you know, it goes a little bit back to Genesis, when God said it's good for man not to be alone. And for us not to be alone, it's for us to be able to communicate. Otherwise, we can be in a crowd and still be alone if we're not hearing what people are saying, or we're not expressing our feelings and reaching out and building relationship. And that's what it really means, that we, because if we're communicating, we are building those relationships that we won't feel alone. We won't think that we're existing alone and we're not by ourselves out here trying to do whatever it is we're trying to do and all things. And there's nothing better to be able to have, you know, those relationships in a man's life, because I think it's very important. In all stages of our life, even as we were kids, we all think back when we were kids, we hung around with, you know, we had our friends, we had our groups. And today we have a lot of, you know, problems that some young people have, that they can't really connect with other folk because of, for whatever reason. And that feeling is something that we have to understand, that that can be a struggle for some people at all ages. So that's why I think it's important when we go back to that in Genesis, when he says it's not good for man to be alone. I think that statement is broader than the husband and wife relationship, that we need community. We need one another. And that's why God, I believe that's why God created us and put us on the earth and told, you know, Noah to go and be fruitful and multiply, that we would have those different kinds of relationships so we could see and be involved in people's lives. And in talking now, what I'm talking now in this modern time, this 21st century, as a body of Christ, I think we need to be more of a community of folk who we have, that people are not in just in church and no one really knows their name. No one really gets to know them. You know, we right now, I think we're so paranoid in this culture. I think we picked up some of the bad habits for whatever reason, from the culture, from sin or the paranoia, that we come to church and then the first thing people want to talk about, they don't want nobody in their business. But why would we not want to come into fellowship with one another as God planned us to be? And that's the thing I think we struggle with in our flesh, to start to build those friendships and relationships, so that when the tough times come, because, you know, as we look back on the first century church, the church was persecuted. All they had was each other. In the book of Acts, it talks about the unity of the body, and Paul writes about that. And the churches were being persecuted in that first century, and they had to depend on one another for survival. And I think because of the way we are today as Christians, we don't think we need each other. But I know there's a song that out there that says that we do need each other, and we have to be able to be able to build those relationships. And I think the first place we can go with that is communication. And how we talk to them and how we treat each other. Amen.
Amen.
You listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Farwell here, Pastor Larry Watkins, and tonight we're talking about the power of words and the levels of communication in a man's life. We're gonna talk a little bit more here. I'm gonna talk another section of the book I wanted to read to you and get your insight on. And it talks about specifically about the power of our words, because we know what the scripture says in Proverbs 18:21, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Our words can build people up or tear them down in ways few things can. This is why the Apostle Paul instructed believers, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only with such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear it. And that's a paraphrase from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Because, again, we have to, if we really think about what we say, and as men, how we speak to our wives, how we speak to our children, how we speak to brothers and sisters in Christ, that our words can, and we are called to speak edifying and encouraging words out of our mouth. So that gives us affirmation of the positive use that we can use that the words and how we use them to communicate with one another. What do you think, sir? How important is that we think about everything that we say?
It's very important that we think about everything that we say. We have to realize that everything that was created with a word. The Bible says that God said it and it happened. He said, let there be, and it was. So everything that God was created with a word, with a spoken word. We have to understand the creative power of our words, as well as the power to destroy with our words. the Bible says that the tongue is a small member, but it yields great power because it has the ability to speak life and to speak death. The problem with many Christians is that we're talking ourselves to death. My father-in-law, Pastor J. E. Sturtevant, told us, he said that we are the sum total of all of the words spoken to us, about us, and around us that helps to make us who we are. We used to say, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names can never hurt us. That's not necessarily true because of all of the words that are spoken to us and about us. As a child, if somebody tells you you're not going to ever be anything, at some point you start learning and believing that you're not going to be anything. And those words begin to have creative power over our lives. If we begin to say things about ourselves, I can never do anything right. Now we're giving creative power over our lives to those words. And those words are the things that prime us and set our course. So we have to be careful that we don't talk ourselves to death, that we don't say things that are going to kill us. We'll never get this right. I'll never get that job. These are the things that we can't say about ourselves. We have to learn to speak positively. Yes, I am what God says I am. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. His blessings follow me. Goodness and mercy follow me. These are things that we have to say about ourselves and about those around us, because our words can harm just as well as they can heal. They can bring up as well as they can pull down. And if we start talking back, you're just like your daddy. Then they're going to end up being just like their daddy was. You're just like your no-good daddy. Now you're taking it to another level because we're speaking words of condemnation over a child, and those words begin to have creative power. We have the power to speak life, and we have the power to speak death, and we need to remember that we need to think about the things that we say. A great man, Dr. E.A. Adeboye, he said this in a meeting, and it was so profound. It was so simple, and it's so profound. He said, you have to be careful what you say in anger, because once you say it, it's out, and you can never take it back. So once those words are out of your mouth, they're there. They're hanging in the spirit. They're out there with power to create or to tear down. And we have to be so careful about the things that we say and the things that we say to others, to our spouses, to our children, to our family members, to our friends, because we could unknowingly be casting things on them, saying things about them that have creative power to bring about change in their lives, and it's not the kind of change that we want for them. We have to make sure that we're saying the right things to our children. You will be great. You can do anything you set your mind to. You will have this. You will go to school. You will get an education. You will have a great job. All of these things. You will start your own business. These are the things that we need to be saying about our children. You are going to be a good man. You're going to be a great man. You're going to be a great woman. You're going to be a leader. You're going to do things that are wonderful for the kingdom. And these are the creative things that we need to be saying over our children. We need to be talking positively about our marriages. You know, we love our wives. We appreciate our wives. We appreciate everything that they do for us. We appreciate our mothers-in-law. Hello? Our mothers-in-law. And these are the things that we need to be speaking about ourselves.
I heard you. Verily, verily, I say. Amen. You're right. Go ahead, brother.
These are the positive words that we need to be speaking. And when we speak positively, we can change our situations. It's all a matter of the words you speak. The words you speak have the power of expectation to show that you have a hope. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. And we show what we're hoping for by the way that we speak. So it's important that we speak correctly. Stop talking ourselves to death. Stop saying a permanent negative over a temporary situation. That means stop saying I can never do anything right when you only messed up one time. Because once you say that, you're now speaking that you'll never do anything right. Start saying I messed up this time, but I'm going to get it right next time. I fell down this time, but I'm getting back up, and I'm going to get it right the next time forward, and I'm not going to do this again. Your words have creative power, and we need to stop talking ourselves to death. What do you think, Dee?
Amen, sir. You're absolutely correct. And we have to measure our words, and that's where the scripture was talking about being edifying and those things that are good for edification according to the need. And then one thing I wanted to touch upon, because, you know, here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we always talk about accountability and how we are called to hold each other accountable. We are called to mentor. We are called to disciple one another. But even in that role, we have to be, as if you're discipling someone, we have to choose the words we use, you know, we have to choose those words carefully. Because as a person is growing in their faith, this is something we discussed recently at a men's fellowship that we had this past weekend, about how do we rebuke or approach a brother, you know, hold him accountable, that he confesses Christ, but then he's going through some things, or we know that he's done some things, and how we speak to him about that, you know, because that can be, you know, some brothers shared that, you know, sometimes when they were young Christians, certain people stepped to them, and that turned them off. Just because there's a lot of reasons to it, because in the discussion we talked about that we can't assume that all men can deal with correction because maybe of their upbringing, you know, they haven't lived under authority. And one of the things that was talked about, you know, like you have a lot of young brothers who didn't have strong male role models in their lives, so they're not used to a man stepping towards them. And the first thing, and when it happens, they draw back. And that's for whatever reason, depending, you know, that not even serious for young men. These are men of a certain age, some of them over 30, because a lot of, again, if you share that, you know, a lot of men come to church later in life and they don't really respond to that authority because the relationship hasn't really been built, or, you know, because that was a segment we talked about for a couple minutes there, because a lot of brothers had a lot of feeling about it. But again, let me go back, but as mentors and disciples and men who we are reaching and building relationships with other men, we have to understand where they are spiritually and their spiritual growth and their maturity and how we speak to them. Because again, it's not also our words. It can be our tone. It can be we don't choose the right words to say, and then they get offended, and then that can, you know, that can shake their faith or break the fellowship where, you know, that's how it starts, and that's how Satan gets in, because now you're moved on his emotion, his pride, or whatever, and then, you know, he's out there by himself. He may be there physically, but he's not hearing, he's not receiving, the relationship may be broken or fragmented, and he's not getting all of what God has for him through the fellowship and through the koinonia that we're called to have in the body of Christ. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Fall over here, Pastor Larry Watkins. And if you're listening online and you want to give some insight or some wisdom into the conversation, you can call 646-668-2636. And you can press 1 on your keypad. You can join the conversation. Also, we're here every Monday night at 8 p.m. and every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. live. Also, you can listen to the rebroadcast of this show by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. And also you can connect with us on Facebook, Issues Christian Men's Talk, on our Facebook page. And we're also Issues Christian Men's Talk on Twitter. We set up there on Twitter account. You can go there. You can follow us there. And we'll be posting a lot of events and other things that we're connected with, some of the ministries we're connected with. The upcoming men's events and wisdom, daily devotionals, and a lot of things that's going on to help you grow and to help you grow in this walk in the body of Christ and encourage men. Amen. Well, so let me go. Amen. We're going to the different levels now about communication, because again, as men, you know, as you know, when men come together, the first thing everyone has, I won't say it's a facade, but we all have our shield up. We have our good face forward. Until we measure and see each other and figure out who's who and what's what, and so we have that superficial, I call it, because sometimes it, you know, that most interactions occur on such a shallow level, we never reach the depth and deep honesty that God called us for to be as men. You know, we looked in the Bible, in Scripture. You know, we have the mighty men of valor. We had the disciples. There was a point when those men, they had interpersonal connection with one another. They had each other's back. They knew each other. They knew exactly who they were. They knew what was going on because they were set up to do a specific task, to do a thing. The 12 disciples, they were connected with one another and with Christ because he was preparing them to go and preach the gospel to the whole world. We talk about the mighty men of valor, David's men, that helped him in his struggle, in his battle to get to what God's destiny was for him. And they knew one another. And they were not perfect men. If we go back and read those scriptures, you know, they weren't perfect men, but they were bound together for a common cause, but united behind David. So, and in levels, I think, and again, in this 21st century church, New Testament church, we have to, on purpose, you know, sometimes have to be able to get past the cliches and those, the different levels. Again, we all start somewhere. You know, we're not going to, you know, because it's all relationship. Let me say that. It all starts in relationship. And some of the things that we do initially when we first meet is that different level. And we're gonna call out some of them here and ask each man to see where you are in these relationships with other men in the body of Christ. Who's around you? Who's in your circle of influence? You know, there's men who are close to you and there's men who were there and around you. But as Christian men, we should look to bring, you know, have some men close to us or be close to some men and build a relationship. I'm not going to say it's going to happen automatically. And like everything else, it's personalities that have to click, common interests, common like, common passions. But we should also look to have friends. I'll just say it that way. The scripture says that to find a friend, a man must show himself friendly. And that's my paraphrase. What do you think, sir? You know, in that first level, you know, we all have that level of cliche. We just say, you know, what's up? You know, we nod our head at each other, and that's it. We bump fists, and we good. We just keep moving. What do you think, sir?
Well, whenever we meet, we always want to put our best foot forward, our best face. We want to make the best first impression. And sometimes for men, that best first impression is to be a little bit standoffish and protective. The reason being is because I don't, number one, sin makes a coward out of all of us. So I don't want you to see the flaws and the chinks in my character, because then you'll automatically assume that I may be weak or that I have issues and you'll try and take advantage of me. Number two, I have to make sure that you understand that I am just as much man as you are. Therefore, I have to present myself as hard and as tough as I possibly can so that you understand that I am a man just like you are. So when we do these things, we're trying to present a pleasing face. We're trying to present what we want people to believe we are rather than who we actually are. We use those words, that first level of communication, as a protection. First, to feel you out, but also to protect you from getting too close. So when we try to communicate at that level, we're not really talking to each other from self. We're talking to each other from that protected area where we're trying to make sure that you don't get in and you're trying to make sure I don't get in. And we're trying to say, okay, I don't know you yet. I'm not sure if I want to know you yet. And I'm not sure if I want to let you in far enough to be able to get to know me yet. So we now reach that level where it's almost like a sparring event. You know, we're just feeling each other out. We're just throwing a few jabs out there to see what one can take and one can accept and what I can trust you enough to deal with. So that first level of conversation is really just a very superficial level. It's not even feeling out. It's just presenting that persona that says, okay, you come this far, but understand who you're dealing with. Now, communication is so important, Deke, that communication is the thing that the devil challenged in the Garden of Eden. If we look at the scripture, the devil said, did God really say you were going to die? Did God really say this? So he's challenging now communication. So when we look at communication, we have to understand that the first thing that the devil is going to challenge or going to try and work through is our communication so that he can get confusion to be in the midst. And because of that, when we get to that first level, we're all dealing with now the pleasing face. We're trying to make sure you don't see my mess. I don't see your mess. We're trying to make sure that you don't see me as a punk or a sucker, and you're trying to make sure that, you know, you see that I'm hard and everything. All of this stuff is going on in that first level of conversation. So that's what makes this level of conversation so superficial and not really any depth in there. It's just the first level of getting to know, not even getting to know each other, but making a connection somewhere in there to see if you're worthy of making a connection. What do you think, sir?
Amen. And then that's where I say that first level, we're going to call that first level. That's the cliche level. You know, like I said, hey, how you doing? What's up? You know, fist bump. Good to see you. Blessed and highly favored. I'm blessed. You know, highly favored. God love you. God bless you. You know, that's a Christian cliche level. That's what I'm going to go there. I'm going to call it out like it is. And then, you know, and now we're going to move. I'm going to move a little bit closer now. We bring brothers in. We start talking about a little bit of external stuff. We might get a little deeper, you know. You know, we talk about football, basketball. We talk about Ravens and Redskins. And, you know, that'll gauge us a little bit more because now we defending our team, no matter who it is, if it's Yankees or whatever, or our city or our neighborhood. You know, and that's what we do. That's how we get. That's a little bit closer because now I know a little bit more about you. You know, I know a little bit about what your passions are because, you know, as brothers, we can sit around, you know, during football season. We can talk about everything. We can talk about everybody's average and yards and quarterback and Cousins ain't this and RG3 ain't that and Flacco don't deserve his money and blah, 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 blah. But that's another – but it is that. But for men, that's a closer level because now we're engaging. We can have a football party, a Super Bowl party, a playoff party. We can come together and keep on that super – I won't say it's superficial, but it's a little bit more because we're a little bit more intimate. And then that's one of the levels we've come just a little bit closer where we're building those relationships. And, again, this is what I say about men's ministry, the importance to have men's ministry in church where just the men come together and start the process. Because it doesn't really matter how big your church is or how many members you have. You know, you'd be surprised how many people – live lonely lives in the body of Christ, and it shouldn't be that way. And as men of God, we should be at a place where we want to bring folk in. You know, I know in the old church, it used to be, you know, if coming to church meant you, and you became a Christian, you can't do this, this, and this. We gave them a whole checklist of stuff they couldn't do. So they had to get a day. That's why folks say now, well, I got to get myself together before I come to church, because they put the mindset that we put out there that there's a whole bunch of stuff they can't be doing before they got to stop doing before they can come to church. And that keeps people out. You know, we think about it, but sometimes it is that serious. People think they can't come around Christians or come to the church with stuff because of whatever, their past perceptions. But as we get into these deeper levels of communication where we're bonding over different opportunities to get people to know each other. Because communication also is about, you know, knowing people, dealing with people, talking with them, seeing where they are, you know, their likes and dislikes. And it starts with that level past the cliche that we have something in common about the weather, about sports, a movie, you know, school you went to, all kinds of those little things. That's just bringing people a little bit in closer. What do you think, sir?
I think that when we talk about the cliche level, we're talking about that elevated conversation, you know, that we're talking about the conversation we have with those people on the bus, not necessarily on the bus, but, you know, the ones you see walking down the street. That's the cliche level. Hey, how you doing? You know, that type. When we start talking about this next level, we're now talking about a little closer communication. These are the people that you see at the barbershop. This is Buffalo Wild Wings conversation. This is what you see on the train or coworkers. Now we're talking about now getting a little bit closer, but it's not still sharing any of self, but it's more about finding common ground. It's more about finding an area that we can come together and say, okay, you know what, we can talk about this because this is not really offensive to me, it's not offensive to you, but we can come together on common ground. Even if we don't have the same team or we're not rooting for the same people, we can still come to ground, come to common ground that we like the sport. And it gives us now some commonality. It gives us now some familiarity on a very, very superficial level that now allows us to come together on common ground. Now, this is where we start getting together and understanding that this is the first level of agreement where the Bible says two cannot walk together unless they agree. Now we're coming together to see if we can agree on anything. Can we come together on a different topic? Can we talk about this? Now, we can talk, but that conversation only gets to a certain level. And once it starts going past the very, very superficial, we kind of pull back because we're still not sure yet how far we want to let you in. We can talk about the team. We can even talk. Here's the level, Deacon. I'm going to get this. I want you to understand this. We can talk about a football team to somebody that we don't know. We can talk constantly, know their likes and dislikes about their team, and never even know their name because we do it in such a simple, superficial level. We can talk to them on the train. We can talk to them on the job or on the bus or whatever you want to call it. We can meet them in Buffalo Wild Wings and never even know their name, but we can come together and talk about football. We can slap each other high five and go on because at this level of communication, it's just about finding some common ground. And when we find that common ground, now we can see if we want to go further in the conversation. But we can do this level right here without even knowing each other's name because we're just coming together on common ground. When we talk about this in the church, it's just about that how you doing, you know, how you feeling. I'm blessed by the best. You know, that's the cliche level. But then you come together, you know, no, really, you know, we can come together, and this is where the dynamic where men fall off in this because we don't believe, some men don't believe that they can come together in church and find a common ground. How can I believe what they believe when all I see is women up there praising and I see men who look like women praising? I don't see any common ground with them. When I come together and I hear them talk, they're not talking about the stuff that I talk about. They're talking about holiness and this, that, and the other. I don't see any common ground. And this is what messes men up in church because they don't see any common ground. They don't see any level that we can come together and have this communication. That's why we have to get together and have pancake breakfasts. That's why we have to get together and wash cars so we can come into a level and foster now that level of meeting together on common ground. So the challenge that we have in church, and this is the reason why men don't come to church, this is the reason why men don't conversate or they don't stay long, they come in and say hello and leave, is because they don't think there's any common ground. We can talk about football, but we really don't think that the men there are ready to talk about football because the ones that we have seen look a little bit too effeminate to talk about football, or the ones that we do see that are masculine enough to talk about football seem too holy to talk about it. So we have to get to a point not only when we get in this level that we understand that in church, we have to be touchable as well as approachable. What do you think, sir?
Amen. You know, you're right, bro. You shed a lot of wisdom there. And that's what you were saying is exactly the thing that I pray and that I preach and that I continue to talk about with the importance of men's ministry, to be able to come past those because those are barriers. Those are barriers that are keeping a lot of men from coming into the body of Christ, understanding what it means to be a Christian man. Because, again, you know, everyone, I say this a lot, but because it's true. A lot of brothers were not raised in the church, and they have superficial, and they see what the church looks like. Even when they walk into a church now, all the things that you mentioned, that's what they see. And unless we, on purpose, the men, the strong, saved men of the church and of the ministry on purpose reach out to these brothers. Because, again, if we're doing what we're called to do, we're reaching men out and we're going out and evangelizing, we're evangelizing the lost. And all of them are not teenagers and all of them are not kids. Some of them, they're live, they're working, they're supporting their families, but they just don't know Christ. And so when they come, because who they hanging with now at work, after work, in their neighborhoods, this is the things they talk about, and they build these relationships. That's how it's easy. You know, I remember back in the day, it was easy after work, you know, go get some beers and sit down, and we could go 2 hours after work. Even though we worked 8 hours, we'd go hang out for two more hours before we went home over a couple of drinks and a beer in the parking lot or whatever. But because we were in these other deeper levels of communication and relationship. And in the body of Christ, all the things you were saying are true. These are the things we have to do. You know, I say this a lot at one of the men's groups, that for you brothers that are in church, the deacons, elders, and I won't even use those who have responsibilities and titles, but if you've been saved in church, we have to learn to, after service, let's go interact with someone we haven't talked to, or even a new person who's visited the church, just shake their hand. Because people who come to the church who are there for the first time, that's what they need to see. They need to be engaged. You never know what they're going through, that you can give them a word of encouragement, that you can reach out to them. You know, that someone spoke to them. You know, we all have that greeting from the pulpit, you know, at the beginning or middle of service or whatever. Who goes out and just, you know, shakes hands with them, speaks to them, asks them their name? That part you said, that clicked to me. Because, you know, we can hang around brothers and have a whole conversation and not ask our name, because asking your name is going into a deeper relationship. And we don't want to do that. I don't want to know that much, just the name, you know. So as in the body of Christ, as men, for all my brothers who are listening online and on the phone, think about it. When we go and introduce ourselves to folk, are we asking what their name is and listening for their name? You know, my pastor told me a long time ago, my first pastor, you have to be on purpose and try and memorize people's names so the next time you see them, you can call them by name. Because again, our Christian cliche is to call everybody brother and sister because we don't remember their name. But it's acceptable. That's how we hide it. That's how we hide it. We can't remember nobody's name. We call everybody brother and sister. But hey, that's just me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, listen, it's just Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Fowler here, Pastor Larry Watkins, and we're talking right now. We're talking about the power of words and the levels of communication in a man's life. And we've gone to some of the levels now. And we talked about the cliche, and we talked about the next level is talking about sports and the weather and school and you know, how's your job. There's some more of the process of coming closer. But now I want to talk to this next level when we start talking about, you know, our personal thoughts, our personal ideas, how we feel about the circumstances or situations, or our opinion. Because when we start to spread individual opinions in a crowd, that can be either, it can be gasoline on the fire, or it can be a healthy debate, a healthy discussion, a exchange of ideas. And that, again, is another kind of relationship, because when you people start talking about opinions on no matter what it is, it can be a dangerous area, because even in our workplace, if we start talking about religion and even talking about the body of Christ, or even, you know, those are some of the sensitive areas where in a lot of places, like, again, on our jobs, that level of relationship is people try to stay away from it because it can bring up a lot of emotions into it. But again, this is what we talk about when we have those closer levels, when we know we can talk to someone. And I think the greatest value we can see in friendships and relationships is two men who may disagree. We're both saved. We're both God-filled and Bible-believing men, but we may disagree on a certain subject. But now, well, how does that affect our relationship? And the first thing I think about in Scripture is about Paul and Barnabas and what happened with John Mark. You know, there was a disagreement there. They separated, but in the end, they were still brothers in Christ. That didn't destroy the relationship. And that's where, and that calls for a deeper relationship where we can express opinions, judgments, and our personal thoughts with one another. What do you think about that level, sir, and how important is that? That's where I think we begin to start to build those real committed relationships, friendships, and we're moving to a place where someone's holding us accountable. Because when we feel comfortable enough to share what we're thinking to another person, to another man, he may or may not disagree with us, but our relationship is at that point where we're willing to listen to what they say in response to what we say. What do you think, sir?
When we get to this level now, Deke, we're now talking about getting further into that level of the two cannot walk together except they agree. Now we're talking about agreeing, not just on a very superficial level, but we're talking about agreeing in the way that in things that matter, in things that have some personality to them, some individuality, some opinions to them that show who we are on a deeper level. So now we're starting to agree on a deeper level. Now we're getting into that area where it talks about showing ourselves friendly. In order for us to have a friend, we now have to show ourselves friendly. What does that mean? That now we have to begin to open up a little bit and start showing a little bit more of ourselves if we expect somebody else to show a little bit more of themselves. So now we're opening up. We're starting to agree on a deeper level. Now, I'm going to tell you, Deke, ironically, you want to know the way that this starts for some men or for most men? We start talking about a woman's behind or something that we saw, or we start talking about, ooh, don't she look good? And once we get to that point, we're now starting to brandish opinions. We're starting now to feel you out. We've gone past the superficial about talking about football. Now we're going to talk about women. We're going to see how you react to what I say, because now it's all a matter of what I can trust you with. Now it's all a matter of me feeling out what you're going to say about what I just said. Are we going to agree? Are we going to disagree? Are you going to be judgmental about what I just said? Or are you going to play along with what I just said? Are you going to correct me? Or are you going to chime in with me? And we start doing that on a very superficial level at first. We start doing it with women. We start doing it with cars. We start doing it with political things, and then we start moving into deeper areas of religion. We start doing it with music and moving into those deeper levels, because now we're getting to know each other to see if we really want to move forward in this friendship or into deeper levels of communication. Now we're trying to see who each other really is. But I'm trying to see who you are without really showing too much of myself. Now, the only way that we can learn to trust is by trusting. So now I have to trust you with something and have to see how you're going to deal with what I just trusted you with. Are you going to turn it back on me? Or are you going to take it and keep it and deal with it in a manner? Now I can see whether you're worthy of being my friend, whether you're worthy of me showing a deeper side of me, whether you're worthy of me showing a greater interest. Are you going to take interest in what interests me? Or are you going to talk about all the things that you're interested in and not care about me? Now, this is the other level. We can get men in the door in church. We may be able to get them to identify with us on a level, but now are we going to take interest in them? Are we going to take interest in the things that interest them and not just have our own agenda? It's not now it's not about our men's, it's not about my men's ministry, but it's about our ministry to men. Because now we have to now understand who those men are. We now have to be engaging enough, not just to know their name, but to start learning more about them and letting them learn a little bit more about us. We have to come in and say, it's not about us trying to cut the grass. It's not about us trying to clean up the church. But let me find out a little bit more about you. What are your interests? What are you trying to do? Where are you trying to go? Tell me about your family. Tell me about the things of you, so that we can now show that we're not taking an interest in them and not just being judgmental about the things that they say. Now we're getting into that deeper level of conversation where we're talking about feelings and emotions, and we're getting to understand who a brother is. This is the area where we lose it at church. This is where the net breaks, Deke. This is where we can get the fish in the door. We can get them in the net, but when the net breaks, because we don't talk to them on that level, we're more worried about our agenda rather than their agenda or finding out who they are. What do you think, sir?
Amen. So, you know, you're absolutely correct, because that's the thing, you know, we in men's ministry, you know, Oh, man, you're absolutely correct, man. That's the thing I try to get across and try to share with the brothers, especially when I meet with other men's ministry leaders, that we have to focus on the brothers we're trying to, that we want to reach, and not so much the brothers who are in the church, you know, because we have to, because without the, because again, it goes back to evangelism outreach. We have to go and want to go after the brothers that we're trying to reach. You know, you have brothers in the church. We have, you know, elders, deacons, them people who've been in the church for 25 years, you know, they're there. It's easy to have something for them because they don't think they're going to hear anything that they don't already know. But if we focus our ministry, men's ministry, to be able to minister to men and go after the men that we're trying to reach, and that's how we design our men's ministry, we can reach more men and be involved in what's going on with their lives. Because, again, if we talk to brothers who've been saved a couple of years, maybe they ain't got nothing going on in their life. You know, they're good at hiding their marriages, the faults in their marriage, or the struggle they go through because they've been there so long, they don't even talk about their stuff, and they're living a miserable Christian life. But if we minister to men on the struggle that they're going on, if we speak into what's going on in their lives, if we try to say God has an answer for what's going on, God can help you through, God will. His word is there for you to be able to make the right choices, to renew your mind, to think how God thinks, and to be able to pray, reach out, and be in fellowship and being encouraged through whatever struggles you're going through. Or also, God has a plan for your life and a purpose for your life that he's going to bring you out of this, and he's going to be able to do what he wants to do with your life once you surrender unto him. And that's why I say, I went back to something I said earlier. It's not about, we have to stop with the church with about your do's and don'ts when we go and evangelize it. And I say that in men's groups all the time. You know, we can't give men a bunch of do's and don'ts. We have to give them Christ, bring them into Christ, teach them the word, be, you know, interested in what they're going through, whatever their struggles is, and bring and lift up Christ. In the midst of their struggle, lift up Christ so that they can know that they can get to know Christ, and then Christ and the Holy Spirit will help them through and guide them through. And again, as mentors and as men in the church who are discipling others and trying to teach other men and encourage them, we have to be in that right place. You know, the old description about iron and sharpened iron. We have to be iron that they can rub up against so they can be sharp, that they get so that God can use them. And we have a place where we're a little transparent. Well, not a little, but we're transparent in the things that we are not perfect and we don't carry ourselves in that way. Because that's another way how, like you, I think you mentioned this earlier, that men get turned off. Because they see us as holy, as untouchable, unreachable. And it's not even, and sometimes it's not even the pastor or the leaders in the church. It's just other men don't avail themselves to be able to reach out and show themselves friendly to the brothers in the church, at all of them. Because, again, you know, you look around the church, not every man, you'd be surprised, every man comes there and he's not really been engaged and been attached to the ministry. This is why we see men who come, they're nagged by their wives, their girlfriends to come, but they're never engaged by any other man, any masculine, any man in that church that engages them to the point where they're interested and feel comfortable coming back. And that's where the men's ministry can do. And we have to be on purpose about it. Because, again, we slip into our old lazy habits that we don't greet people and we don't, you know, we don't engage, we don't talk to folk, we don't get to know their names, and we don't on purpose and try and reach them. We just can't assume everyone who comes to our thresholds, our doors, and stays and got it all together and they'll be back again next week. 6 days is a long time, and Satan is working overtime. While we're sleeping, Satan is working. So that brother won't come back to the church again, or he'll feel something and hear something and he won't like. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Fogg. We're here with Pastor Larry Watkins, and we've been talking about the power of words, and we're finishing up here on the different levels of communication in a man's life and how we can be able to engage them. Pastor, I'm going to come to you for your closing statements here in a minute. Again, I wanted to share some of the announcements and some of the things that's going on. Summertime's here. Men's ministries are up and stirring and going. I want to share first on Thursday, this Thursday, May the 5th at 7 p.m., the Carter Memorial Church, where the pastor is Carl Pearson. is going out into the community in Baltimore, Maryland, and they're going to adopt a corner going out for men's prayer at 7 p.m. on Thursday, May the 5th. You can call the church at 410-752-6123 and get the location, the actual street address. We'll be on the air. We may be live because it's on Thursday at 7, so we still might be out there at 8:30. So we might do a live broadcast right there from the street. Amen? Amen. On Friday, May the 6th at 7 p.m., the Church of the Redeemed of the Lord at 4321 Old York Road in Baltimore, Maryland. They're having a man-to-man men's fellowship, and the topic for discussion will be I Won't Seek Help. This is men of God. In the body of Christ, we have to know there's a time when we need to seek help and seek out each other. Again, iron sharpening iron. We have to come rub up against each other. So for a man to get his iron sharpened, he must find another piece of iron to rub up against to. Amen? And finally, and last one, starting every Saturday morning. I believe they started this month. They sent me the flyer. On Saturday morning at 10 a.m., New Simons Baptist Church is having a man up and engaging an interactive men's group every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. And the pastor there is Bishop Walter Scott Thomas. You can go to newsimons.org or on Facebook at New Simons Baptist Church and get the information and details of that group, and encourage you to go out and join. If your church doesn't have a men's group, or you want to go somewhere and be around godly men and be able to talk and share and glean from them, we encourage you to go there. Also, all these events will be posted on our Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page, and we encourage you to come and join us. Pastor Watkins, your closing statements, brother.
You know, Zeke, when I've been doing some studying and been looking at some things in the Bible, and I was looking at how Jesus interacted with his men. Jesus had the greatest men's ministry that will ever be known, because he took a few men to turn the world upside down. The thing that he did, Zeke, was he first approached them on a personal level before he approached them on a level of saying, come be what you can be. He first approached them. When you look at how he dealt with Nathaniel, when you look at how he dealt with James and John, and when you look at how he dealt with with Peter, he first dealt with them on a very personal level. He dealt with Peter about fishing. He dealt with James and John about their position in the ministry. He dealt with Nathaniel about the things that he was going through with his family. And he dealt with them on a very personal level. And then once he dealt with them on a personal level, he said, then spoke to them and told them what they could do and what they could be. And then he invited them to come along with him. So when we deal with our men, we have to make sure that we're approaching them, speaking to them on a personal level, not about our own agenda, but about the things that concern them. We have to remember, as I say always, this is not about our men's ministry, but ministry to men. Thank you, Deke, for having me. It's been an honor.
Amen, sir. Thank you. Thank you, brother. And for my listening audience, God bless you. We'll see you again on Thursday at 8:30 p.m. God bless.
Supernatural.